Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Good morning, everybody.
I was going to say, just do it.
I want to wait for the beat drop with that. You know, yeah. You got to. That's too long.
That's too long?
You got to wait.
All right, so...
At least a little bit.
We're just casually bashing Joe Calley on the board for his musical choices here today?
The beat dropped. I couldn't wait for the lyrics. I won't have that. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Drive safe this morning with
Please.
A little bit of the snow coming down. Our sister station, WBEN, will have you covered on all of the traffic updates and such. I don't think the snow is going to be continuing past noon today.
It shouldn't.
But, you know, the road's getting in this morning. Had to leave a little early, get up, defrost the car, all that fun jazz for winter.
Guys and gals out there, everyone, let's make some better decisions out there, okay?
Just make good decisions out there.
Yes, let's make some better decisions out there. I saw a person from the right turn lane over in Depew on my drive in today. Instead, turn left, cutting across two lanes of traffic.
That's good.
Let's not do that. Let's make better decisions today. Look out for everyone, and let's go Bills and Sabres. Sure.
With that being said, wasn't that bad driving in for me at least.
For me at least,
it was not that bad.
I saw some choices be made. They weren't good ones.
You did.
You were on the phone with me. I was calling through the car speaker. Never, like, don't ever have your phone in your hands in times like these either, speaking of good decisions. There's your PSA. I got off my soapbox. This is the Norton Automotive Extra Point Show. I'm Derek Kramer. He's Zach Jones. And we're here with you on a snowy Tuesday where...
The Bills won.
The Bills... Everyone won from Saturday on.
They did, that's right. We had the Bandits open up their season 1-0. UB basketball's undefeated 8-0. The Sabres win. Josh Norris looked great, by the way, last night.
Sabres
the Bills
win
on Sunday. You know, we've had way worse Buffalo sports weekends, so I'll take this and I'll run with it. I said that on Sunday.
We don't talk about Friday.
No.
Actually, we will talk about Friday for one instance.
But I said it on Sunday when the Bills were playing of, you know, yes, I want the style points. Yes, I think for the most part their offense is very boring. And I don't know how sustainable it is based off of what I'm seeing around the rest of the NFL and then going on into, you know, next year and the years following. But they were down both their starting tackles. They're on the road, and they've been abysmal on the road. I'll take a 26-7 win over the Steelers. It's not great. It's not like the Steelers are this world-beating opponent. I'll be honest. I thought Sunday, for the most part, said more about Pittsburgh than it did about Buffalo. Now, we're in Buffalo, so we're going to make it about the Bills, and that's fine. But I think nationally, you saw far more from the Steelers in the negative sense than you saw positive from the Bills. It's not to say the Bills' performance wasn't great. Christian Benford had himself a day. The backup tackles both played admirably. James Cook had himself a day. But for the most part, I thought that was more Steelers being garbage. I think they are mediocrity incarnate. They're probably going to get around 9-10 wins because they always do. But does anyone, even in Pittsburgh,
do we think they're going to get to 10 wins?
It seems to be what they do. That's why I say it. It seems to be what they do, even when they don't really deserve it. But well, I think even in Pittsburgh, especially with the fire Tomlin chance, I think even people in Pittsburgh are acknowledging that like they've run their course here. I don't know what the Steelers will do. They don't like to fire coaches. They like to let that run down and the coach decides to leave. But I think they should really think about just cutting the cord here.
Yeah, they really need to do something. And it's not just Tomlin. Omar Khan is...
It's the whole thing.
Yeah, it's the whole organization at this point. And obviously ownership is not going to change. Art Rooney is going to be there. Art Rooney the second, I should say. But the Rooney family is going to keep the Steelers forever and ever and ever. But man, management and coach really do just kick the can down the road every year, and they've done that since Ben Roethlisberger's final years. They've been just, okay, we're good enough.
Yeah, it's not his final year. You're right. It is that chunk of like 3-4 years of just like, no, we're fine. We're fine.
It's after the 2019 season where they collapse their way out of the playoffs despite, I think it was like a 95% chance of making it from the position they were in. They get swept by the AFC West, which outside of Kansas City was horrendous, and then the next thing you know, it's just been good enough to a point where you get beat down by Cleveland in the playoffs. You get embarrassed by little brother in the playoffs.
At home.
And
they lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Blake Bortles team. I think that was back in, 2017.
Yeah.
You know, that's the year the Bills break the drought, but that's also kind of the start of the end of any sort of respectable Steelers teams where people genuinely fear them, I think. Yes. That's more what it is. Because they made the playoffs before, but in terms of genuine fear and the history of the Steelers and that playing a factor, that was sort of the beginning of the end. And like them even playing Renegade in the fourth quarter felt off.
It's
like they're getting beat down and you're just like, oh, this is just sad.
It's kind of like how Orchard Park now has adopted Mr. Mm-hmm. Brightside in that sense. And it's like time and place sort of thing. And for the Steelers fans to be hearing it there, they were not happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just this iteration of the Steelers now, it's so stale and they're willing to keep it that way. They made waves by firing Matt Canada in season last year.
Because that was like the first time they'd either ever done it, or it was like the first time in like 40 years they fired a coordinator.
Sorry, two years ago. But their offensive coordinator was so bad, they had to do something. And it was the first time they did it in like 58 years or something. I'm making up the number, but it is actually a very long time.
Yeah.
It is legitimately a long time, though. And watch me be right on that number exactly for some reason. But yeah, the Steelers are just this mediocrity defined that they're okay with being just good enough in the NFL. And you know what it did? It made me not worry, but definitely reflect on something. And it is more or less this. I better not see the Buffalo Bills start to get complacent over being constantly a playoff presence and a Super Bowl contender for years now, that they can kind of just like rest on it and, you know, you take the wrong lessons from it, for example. No. Like, if the Bills make a deep playoff run being a wild card team this year, do not take the wrong lessons from it. Make sure to make the right changes as they are appropriate. Make sure that the roster does get fine-tuned a little bit more aggressively than in years past. I do also think you're going to have a little bit more cap flexibility to do that this year.
I hope.
Well, you hope, but also last year was tough. Last year was tough pickings on your cap space.
You're eating the Diggs dead cap money.
You're eating the Von Miller dead cap money.
So there's a lot. Samuel kind of becomes an albatross as well. I mean, you want him on the roster. He just has not been able to be on the roster.
And now it is, you're probably going to get a little bit more of that cap relief where it's more or less, it can't be as bad as last year when the money was that tight.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they are able to get a little bit more aggressive this year. And we do see a little bit of a return to the big baller bean mantra.
That's
what I'm hoping for.
That PR, I guess, of him, or the image, that big baller image. I tweeted that out on Sunday, and I still stand by it. Like, it's nice that the Bills won. I still stand by all my criticisms. They're a very boring offense, the whole thing.
Right.
But that was one of them, too, with me, where the last few years have been really tough on that image of being.
Yes.
Of being the guy that's willing to make the aggressive move and is always in on everything and what have you. And whether that's right or wrong, some of the stuff just doesn't fall your way. Like, we are not privy to the inner workings of trades and stuff like that that go on within NFL front offices. We're really just not. But over the last few years, it's just, it's been more just steady as she goes. And we're not going to make any big splashes. We're going to re-sign all of our guys, even if they're just okay. They're middling guys. They're not going to become star players. You know, I think you can make an honest argument, too, that the only big move the team has made on the offense is the Stephon Diggs trade 5 years ago in 2020. You can argue past that, the only big move they've made was the Von Miller signing. That's on the defense. You don't have to make big splashes to be successful in the NFL. I still think the best way to do it is just nail the draft. Get lucky and be good for two or three drafts in a row.
And then it could allow you to be
probably good. You're probably going to be just fine.
But it also allows you to be a little bit more aggressive, because if you land star players on rookie contracts, you are able then to give yourself a little bit of more cap flexibility and then try to make a swing if you need to add to it. It is not required as a demand to fix the roster. It is now a compliment again.
Right.
Like Rasul Douglas.
Yeah, I mean, he was the perfect one of where it was a quick fix. He's going to help us out. He's not going to be anything crazy. If we sign him back, great. If we don't, we don't. He was perfect. Amari Cooper, though, the following year is much more of a, oh, no, we botched this.
We botched this, and we need to fix it.
Yeah.
And Cooper's presence does allow for coverage to roll his way, but even he is not used and utilized properly to a point where his career fizzles out, and he ultimately retires.
Yeah, he doesn't play for anybody else.
He doesn't play for anybody else. So it really is this interesting conversation, and I do want to make sure that, you know, I want to see them not do what the Steelers do, is effectively what it is, because there's that William and Mary connection with Tomlin and McDermott. The two of them couldn't be more opposite.
Like that, in all seriousness,
yeah, like
yes.
There's a school connection and a kinship between the two of them. Coaching styles could not be more opposite. Mike Tomlin hasn't met a situation that he would not punt. And then meanwhile, there's Sean McDermott saying, we're going to go for it. Even when the Steelers went for it, on fourth and one in a goal line situation, what do? Shotgun run.
Yeah.
Because it
kind of feels like they're not comfortable doing it.
Even when they're being aggressive, Tomlin is still safe. And thank goodness Mike Tomlin is not the coach of the Buffalo Bills, because the words cowardly would be constantly running through my mouth. And Sean McDermott is not that. I'm happy about that. I just want to make sure that this organization does take the right lessons from this year and go, no, we're not going to do this again. My confidence level, depending on the person within the Bills organization, is different. But I do think overall it will be there. All I get to do about it is talk into a microphone. It's not going to make any change. It's not going to make any difference. So when I say it, it's more on the hopes that my fear that I had about this goes away quickly. It is a small fear. It's not one that I'm really worried about. But it is one that I'm going to have to be looking over and seeing, okay, are they going to get complacent? Because, dear God, I hope not.
I think I'm a little more nervous than you are. I would argue the last 2 years have been kind of pointless.
Again, it's depending on the person, I have a differing answer.
Right. And for me, it falls much more on the GM and Brandon Bean. But when I say pointless, no, I love the playoff run they went on last year. The win over the Ravens was awesome. Going to the AFC Championship was great. I'm not denying any of that. But the everyone eats and wanting to try to build a team around, not really going for splash receivers, not really trying to add more weapons on the outside for Allen. And, you know, to get balance, you sacrifice the passing game to try to meet in the middle. I don't know what the thought process was there. That's my point. And I know Bulldog has talked about this a lot in the afternoon of, it. You know, the everyone eats this last 2 years was the first great experiment of Josh Allen's career. I think for the most part, it's been a failure, mainly because you're seeing, oh, this is not gonna work. This is not gonna be the thing that gets it done. Can they win a Super Bowl? Sure. Eli Manning won a Super Bowl with the Maras in charge of the Giants and them being a wild card team. They can still win. But to your point, don't get complacent. Don't all of a sudden decide because you may be winning a Super Bowl this year in an AFC that is ripe for the picking and in a year with the league where there seems to be no one that is great, don't all of a sudden go, everything we did was perfect. You know, it was a little ugly at times, but everything we did was right because it has not been. You know, the extensions you've signed have been struggles at best. The defense is arguably better when Shaq Thompson is in and not Terrell Bernard.
Your offensive coordinator, I do wonder how much of the offensive, like the drafting approach as of late has been, because you think about it, the approach through the draft when it comes to the offense has changed philosophies within the new offensive coordinators. Ken Dorsey wants to run 12 personnel so much that they draft Dalton Kincaid. And now you are looking at a Joe Brady that goes with this everybody eats mantra because he's the one that propagates it to a point where the Bills are not investing within the position very heavily. Keon Coleman's taken, but that's then when the mantra is launched about everybody eats.
Mm-hmm.
So then you sink your teeth into it further because of the success that you had. And complaining about the position is one of the worst arguments you can have, to paraphrase there. But I wonder if the philosophies change within the offensive coordinators. And that brings me back to my still biggest problem with this team. Is it nice that they called the same plays over and over and over and over again? First of all, before I go in on Joe Brady, congrats on the on your daughter, newborn daughter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I want to make sure that the human element is thrown in there first and foremost. Congrats to Joe Brady. I do worry about, you know, the predictability still of this offense. I still do worry about it. Because, yeah, it worked against Pittsburgh. It didn't work against Houston.
That's the thing. I mean, when it works, it's really funny.
It worked against Dallas a couple years ago.
And it's cool. When it doesn't work and when there's no off-speed pitch, plan B, however you want to put it, it gets really frustrating. And you do start to wonder, like, where's the creativity in the offense? We've taken calls on that. I know everyone else on the station is taking calls on the lack of creativity.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
With the Bills offense, you know, we'll see. I still think there's a talent issue here. I don't think they're particularly talented with their wide receivers. And, you know, and
how
I think,
much
and
that's
I think
the mantra created by the offensive coordinator, though.
Right, sure, absolutely. I also do want to point out with this Pittsburgh win, hell of an effort by the offensive line. You're down both tackles.
Oh, the execution was beautiful.
And to be fair, I wasn't on air much last week because of Thanksgiving on Thursday and then a Black Friday game on Friday for the Sabres, but I wasn't feeling confident at all. Once Dawkins and Brown were out, I was like, the way they've been playing on the road, you lost both your tackles. Allen got sacked 8 times with those 2 tackles in. I don't love this. I'm not saying that I thought they were going to lose, but I'll be honest, I wasn't going into Sunday thinking we're going to be just fine. They're going to figure it out. I didn't really have that feeling. So it was nice to see in the second half they got it going. It did take, though, a fumble recovery for a touchdown and then the next drive a pick to really get them going.
It was the defense that kickstarts this game, not the offense. And that has been something since the Atlanta game that has been very commonplace with this Bills team, is the defense is the one that's really kickstarting it. Carolina, A.J. Epinesa returns, was it a fumble or an interception?
I think it was an interception.
He returns it to the one.
Yeah, it's still the one.
But the thing is that the defense has been doing this a lot lately, where they are the ones making the big plays of at least trying to keep you in games, or they're the ones shaping a win, even. So I do worry about the offense still. I worry about its consistency. I worry about its predictability. When T.J. Watt says, I've never seen a team call the same play so many times and execute it so well. First of all, that's your problem for not stopping the same play being called over and over again. Sorry, skill issue, Pittsburgh. Get better. You're the highest paid defense in the National Football League. You can't beat the same play call being called over and over again?
Isn't that great?
That tells you how pathetic their organization really has become. But now, I look at the other side. Yeah, it's positive that you're able to call the same plays over and over again. It's also diagnosable when teams watch film. When Pittsburgh's failing to execute and your offensive line is executing so well, but your diagnosis is not there. They're calling the same play. You are not recognizing it well enough that you can even cheat your way to getting success on the plays. But if other teams can properly recognize it through the film study and blow it up, look at the tunnel screen in the first half.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, the screen passes.
Yes.
Burn all of them. Burn all. They shouldn't be there. Burn all of them.
So.
Oh, man.
So there is a little bit of a worry that I want to see the future games, the rest of this season, play out with. Nate Geary and I were talking about this on the Overtime Show, and I'm going to lead this question into the break. 803-0550, the number to call as well to join in on this question. Are there certain teams you're more fearful of in the postseason than others, and how we will rank them? And that'll be up on the other side here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. He's Zach Jones. I'm Derek Kramer. This is WGR.
Welcome back, everyone. Hour number one rolling along here on a Tuesday, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. Today's show, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
We got primetime players at 11, and I led into the break with a question. And it's one that really is racking my brain, because Nate Geary and I had a really good conversation about this on the Overtime Show on Sunday. And it more or less became, who do you fear the most? In these, what is the bad matchup for the Bills in the playoffs? Immediately, I turned to Denver, because Denver has an incredible defense. Yeah, their offense is bleh. I've got Bo Nix throwing a pass right to a linebacker on Sunday night.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Bo is really not helping my whole guys. I think Denver might be legit. He is not. He's got such a low ceiling. It feels like he's Mac Jones, but with an offensive coach. Where Jones was stuck with late career Bill Belichick, Nix has Sean Payton and wheels. He can move.
So Denver's still that team for me, more or less, because you've seen the blueprint with Houston and with Atlanta. You get a good defensive performance out there. Even a meh offense can do at least enough when the Bills are banged up. But I still don't even fault the defense necessarily for either of those games. Well, hang on. Atlanta's different. But the second half, that defense really does change itself.
Right. They gave up, what, three?
3 points in that entire game after that. But they hemorrhaged yards and points in that first half and almost had disaster strike upon them on the last play of the first half.
Drake London. Love it.
But Denver's that. Denver's that type of team. Their defense is that type of unit where it is kind of scary. But then outside of that, ready? New England, the Bills needed to still turn the ball over 3 times, and they walked it off with a last-second field goal just so that they can get the win against Buffalo. So there might be high variance between the two teams here. Also, it's very hard to sweep a team. I don't think that that happens, especially when you match up 3 different times.
Right.
The Chargers, the franchise that God forgot?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll believe it when I see it because, oh, by the way, Justin Herbert has to have surgery.
Yeah, I don't. They're the 5 seed now.
They might be the team
let's check back in 2 weeks.
They might be the team that cedes a spot to Houston at the end of the day.
Guys, Herbert says he's playing, by the way.
That's concerning.
On Monday.
Ready?
They play Monday.
So the Chargers might run themselves into trouble with Herbert playing through injury. I do like their coach, Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh is a very good coach. The Ravens, for example, current leaders in the AFC North, I don't trust John Harbaugh more than I could throw him, let alone his defensive coordinator in Zach Orr. Lamar Jackson is not known to be a playoff performer.
And he's having a bad year.
And he's having a bad year nonetheless. Derrick Henry looks more diminished than usual. Mm-hmm. Everyone's so worried about Derrick Henry this, Derrick Henry that when it comes to facing off with Bills-Ravens matchup. Like, why is everyone so scared of Baltimore? I'm not scared of them in the slightest, which would be the year that they strike them down.
Right.
But
I got to say, sorry to butt in here.
No, this is a conversation we all should be having.
The Baltimore thing of not being scared. Derrick Henry, man. I get it. He's down a peg from where he has been. And what's the one game he performed in?
I know.
The Bills rushing defense. And guess what, though? Guess what? The Bills secondary is better. I'll give him that. Mm-hmm. Okay, a lot better. They've really honed it in. The rushing defense is worse. I would say worse. Like, in all seriousness,
you're out at Oliver.
You're out Michael Hoyt. Yep. He's not coming back, so you don't have a chance. And Derrick Henry, you couldn't even stop Woody Marks.
But also, ready?
Sean Tucker.
Yes. Like. But then what did they do?
But what did they do in the playoffs? They adjusted their game plan, and the defense have all the faith in the world in about adjustments and game plan specifics.
I agree.
And in the postseason matchup between these two teams, they sold out.
But I will say,
and I mean sold out on the run.
The defensive adjustments come when you force them to throw the ball, and I don't trust this Bills offense as far as I can throw them to put points on the board and force them to throw the ball.
I do trust the Ravens defense to allow it.
Yeah, I mean, their defense could show up, though. The Bills can't do more than run. I've seen so many people now say, this is the Bills' formula for winning a Super Bowl. Guys, they ran 51 times. What did New England do against the Bills? And we laughed at them a couple years ago. Yeah, the same thing!
Because of the win game,
It's the same thing! I just don't. We are in such a predicament, and I get it. It was a great game plan against Pittsburgh. I don't think that works against any of the teams.
Oddly enough, I don't even love the game plan against Pittsburgh. What I'm saying is, I don't fear Baltimore more or less because they are who they are and they continue to prove that. The Bills' biggest bugaboo is the 10th seed in the AFC right now.
And that's a team I think they match up really well with.
So
I know they keep losing to them in the playoffs. I would routinely take Kansas City over Baltimore.
Every one
personally.
Of these teams has questions. New England is one that I respect. Denver is one that I respect. Jacksonville is the greatest mystery to me in all of the land.
Yeah.
Their quarterback,
Trevor Lawrence, isn't good. They can't really run the ball. Brian Thomas having an interesting year, to say the least. I mean,
Travis Hunter's out for the year.
Trades him. But yet they're 8-4. They beat Kansas City. And, not that long ago, it felt like Indianapolis was going to run away with that division.
Now that
is not the case at all. Indy's the 6th seed now, and Jacksonville's the 3.
When Jacksonville loses, they do it in spectacular fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Not much different than Buffalo, where it is incredibly frustrating. How'd you lose that game? Indianapolis is in a free fall. which then leads me to Houston. Houston at the 8 seed. They're one game back from Indianapolis. They have the head-to-head now. They've got a stellar division record, so they can win tiebreakers against Indianapolis. They have tiebreaker over Buffalo. There's a real problem there. And yet, they have a major question about offense. And is C.J. Stroud ever going to find form again? Or are they going to rely on Davis Mills to actually run things through for them?
I thought for a minute there on Sunday, I thought they maybe looked better with Stroud. And as the game goes on, you're just like, no, there's nothing here.
Yeah, there's nothing
really there enough. But to that point, I look at the Bills kind of the same way. Like if James Cook doesn't get going, you kind of got to hope and pray that Allen finds his form. You know, they play a depleted defense like Tampa where Shavers is able to go off for a day. Where Shavers hadn't had a target in 2 weeks. You know, since his breakout game, he has not had another target. That's my biggest issue. I agree. I don't really fear anyone in the AFC, to be perfectly honest. It's a bad conference this
year. I
have
a different respect for different teams, and I will structure them as such.
But for the Bills play into that. The Bills have not been impressive really at all this year outside of, you know, fleeting moments. You know, the Carolina win 40-9 has actually turned out to be a pretty darn impressive
win. It looks
like
a really good win now.
You know, Baltimore coming back in the fourth quarter is impressive. Dominating Kansas City. The scoreboard looks close, but Buffalo really handled them that entire game.
They had
game.
Control of that game until like all the way at the end where Prater misses a field goal and all of a sudden the Chiefs have the football back with a chance to tie.
But ultimately, in equal measure, they have the blowout against Miami, the dismantling against Houston. You know,
the baffling loss to Atlanta.
You know, and so that's the thing is I don't disagree with looking at the AFC and going, okay, who they can't get through? I mean, look at all of them. I don't disagree. My fear, though, is the Bills play into that. They're not particularly good on the road this year. They're after last night's result, they're playing on the road this year in the playoffs. Unless it all of a sudden becomes 5-7, Kansas City's the 7, Bills are the 5, and it's the AFC Championship. They're not playing at home in the playoffs. And look, that it is what it is. They have not handled their business. We mentioned those games for a reason. But yeah, I mean, it is a gettable conference. It's more based off of I'm not seeing really an identity from the Bills this year that I think is sustainable. It's games like Pittsburgh where we're just going to run the same play and we're going to see what happens. It's games like Tampa where all of a sudden they're able to open it up. There is no consistency that they can find. And that's where I do, and I think about this almost trade a lot with Jalen Waddle, where I agree. I don't think one player makes a Super Bowl roster or makes a Super Bowl team. But if, you know, would adding a guy like a Jalen Waddle or a Brian Thomas Jr. or what have you, would that change enough? Would that offer enough on the Bills' offense to take advantage of what is ultimately a bad AFC? I don't think you will get a Kansas City Chiefs team this poor again with a healthy Patrick Mahomes until the end of his career. Likewise with Baltimore, where they are just middling at best, and they're the 4 right now. That is not stopping them from losing. They continue
there's
to pick
two
up
matchups
losses
to Pittsburgh,
and they've got another one with Cincinnati. Like, so there's no stopping them either from picking up these losses. They are playing a part in this as well. I just don't think this keeps going. And hell, Burrow. I mean, yeah, he's had his issues staying healthy. Is he going to miss 3 months again next year?
So when I look at this question, though, at the end of the day, it is not about the Bills themselves. It is survivability within the postseason field. What are the teams that I want to avoid? And I think for me, it is Denver, then New England, and then Houston. The good news being, if things continue on the course that they are, you're both wild card teams. And the only way you face each other is a championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville needs to hold off Houston. Indianapolis needs to hold off Houston because Houston as a 3 seed suddenly looks a lot more scary.
I don't even think Houston's all that good because of the offense, but I have
their defense is otherworldly.
I have no faith in Jacksonville, and Indy is just collapsing it on itself.
But I'm looking at it and I rank it as Denver in terms of likelihood, New England, Houston. Those are my 3 teams that I kind of want to avoid. New England, the 3rd one, because they're really good at defending the run.
Yeah.
So, 803-0550, the number to call as we get connected with our fans, is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Will. Will, welcome into the Extra Point Show. What you got for us?
Hey, guys. First of all, I want to thank we are truly lucky here in Western New York to have like a really good, knowledgeable, fair sports talk radio station. So I want to thank you guys for that. A quick ranking of currently who's in, I would probably starting going 5-1. It would probably be Jacksonville, San Diego, Indy, Baltimore, New England, and then Denver, simply because it would be on the road. That defense is not as scary as Houston's, but definitely top-tier notch. But the team I really honestly in the AFC that I fear most in the playoffs for the Bills are the Bills.
That is
No one takes bad timing penalties or stupid little mistakes here or there, turnovers, than the Bills. It is a down year for the top-tier teams in the AFC, which is a shame that the Bills can't take advantage of this downtrend. But that's my thoughts on it.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And yeah, like it's to your point too of like the team you fear the most in the AFC playoff is the Bills. And that is a static throughout all of us. I just more or less wanted to do this exercise for the variation that is not the one that we talk about every single day.
Right.
I do want to look a little bit around the league on the perspective of this because of the fact that we all know the frustration that is the 2025 Buffalo Bills. Every one of us knows it almost intimately at this point.
Yeah, it's going to continue until the year ends. Even if they win a Super Bowl, it'll be one of those where by the end you'll be like, I'm glad we won. This is amazing. But boy, that was a painful ride.
Oh, no.
It was an exhausting ride.
There is no but at that point.
Let's go.
This season is the wooden roller coaster. Believe me when I say that. If they win the Super Bowl, I don't think anyone cares about the back pain that you got from the wooden roller coaster.
No, I do think a lot of people are going to lie, though, about how they felt about the Bills.
Yes.
For me, though,
That's fair, but you're lying about it, 1,000%. Right. You're not saying that, oh, man, that season was rough. No, you're saying this is the best thing of all time.
Guys, I always had faith. Buddy, I have all of your text messages from the last few weeks. No, you didn't.
Never a doubt. Are you sure about that?
But I think for me, I still lean into the team I fear probably the most is Baltimore. I think the Bills have escaped against them. And it's the same with the Bills and Kansas City. Eventually, the Bills will beat Kansas City in the playoffs, so they keep playing. I think likewise, Baltimore will eventually not shoot themselves in the foot and get through. They are still a very talented team that likes to make things hard on themselves. After that, I'd probably go teams like Denver. I think that pass rush is amazing. I think they're still on pace for one of the best sack seasons as a team of all time. Guys like Nick Benito. I'm not saying they're a great team. They almost lost to Marcus Mariota at home. That's not good.
That's not good.
But it's their defensive players that really shine for them. And then, you know.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's probably Indy with Jonathan Taylor. just in the sheer fact of I don't really need Daniel Jones to do much because the Bills' run defense is shown.
And
I don't
their need opposing quarterbacks. Well.
Yeah, I don't need them to do too much. That's just the teams that are in it. Kansas City is obviously still going to be around there. They're out of it, though, at the current moment, as is Houston. So I don't want to say them necessarily. But like Jacksonville, the Chargers, even the Patriots. I think the Patriots, like you brought it up at home, they had to have three turnovers. It was still close. I am curious about how that second matchup is going to go with New England being on the bye. And I think it's going to really change, I think, a lot of people's tunes, too, as well. If that game goes poorly for the Bills, if they drop both to the Patriots, I think a lot of people who maybe think they are a paper tiger, all of a sudden will be like, maybe they're legitimate. Because they did beat Tampa. They did beat Buffalo on the road. And, man, just watching last night, they can lean on teams. And the way May is throwing the ball, their deep passing attack, I mean, the throw and catch to Kyle Williams, there's only so many guys in the NFL that are doing that at that kind of level. And I'll always look at the quarterbacks. And May right now is playing like a top five, top 10 quarterback. I think it's inarguable at this point. And it's not even his rookie year, so we can't even sit there and go, oh, it's, you know, ignorance is bliss. He doesn't even know what he's doing. He's just going out there playing. It's year two. And he doesn't have world beaters at wide receiver. 803-0550, the number to call. We did mention primetime players coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll keep taking your calls. William, Steve, and anyone else will do that when we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We got primetime players coming up in just about 10 minutes.
Hope you're driving safe out there, everyone, and thanks for everyone that's been listening so far.
By the way, we'll get to it more in hour two, and we'll get to your calls here in just a moment. College football.
Oh, yeah. You've wanted to talk about this. We need to talk
about it. We're going to do it in hour two a little bit. The coaching search has been incredible. Lane Kiffin is just the perfect villain for college sports. I love everything about it. And in part, like it made going into Sunday kind of weird for me. Because of the off days, it was just kind of like, oh, Sunday's here. Oh, yeah, the Bills are playing. And I'm like, I just spent the last 48 hours locked into, like, Egg Bowl results, like Texas A&M,
also,
coaching searches, where's everyone going? And I'm like, oh, yeah, Bills, Pittsburgh. All
right. Kind of connected to it. It was a great weekend for a certain insult. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it on the air. But it was a great weekend for a certain insult.
Yeah, that Ole Miss podcaster, I mean, I've never seen a true 180 with fans being like, yeah, screw that guy. Till actually, he's a hero. Pick him up.
He's a hero.
He's right.
Careful, man. He's a hero.
Careful, he's a hero. Just, oh, man. I'm not rooting for LSU and Lane Kiffin, but boy, college football will be worse the day he retires. He is a treat that keeps on giving, and college football needs to fix itself, namely the schedule.
What's up with him and Plains, by the way, and his sagas?
I know. It's so good.
The fact that it's more than one is brilliant.
It's so good. 803-0550, the number to call. We did promise we'll get to your calls here. And first up is Steve on the line. Steve, how we doing?
Hey, guys. I was just chiming in on the Joe Brady and the offense talk.
Mm-hmm.
My comp for it is, it really reminds me of Leslie Frazier defense, where they just kind of line up and do their thing, and then, you know, almost like telling the other team, like, hey, mm-hmm. we're going to do this.
Try and stop me.
And, you know, I'm sure you guys were, like, just all super grossed out in the first quarter of that Steelers game when they blew up the Shakir screen, which mm-hmm. is the, you know, why. But I was really happy to see him get the two running backs back there. I thought really that's what they were going to do for that Texans game. I was, you know, I told you guys I was at that game, and I was like, okay, you know, they're going to do the thing where they get in the eye, and they're going to have Davis and Johnson and Cook and kind of have it look like that Jets game from a while ago. And, you know, they obviously didn't do that, but I hope they lean on that, maybe replace that Shakir screen with, you know, some different stuff in the backfield with the two running backs, and, you know, give some different options and have Hawes involved.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for the call. I mean, that is something to bring up too. Ray Davis finally had a good game for them.
Good for him.
He had a few pop runs for them. I think that's right, though, to point to like the Leslie Frazier defensive. We're just going to line up, stop us. Like, this is what we do. Houston Texans defense, like, that's kind of their thing too. Is like, they're not going to do anything super exotic or anything. They're going to line up. Man on man, we're more talented than you. Let's go. And in many aspects, the Houston Texans are more talented than you on defense. That, I think, is the Bills' offense, though, where, like, this is our plan. This is what we're going to do. We might run the same play seven or eight times in a row. Can you stop it? When a team can, my issue is that I don't think the Bills have a plan B. I think it becomes we're just going to punch a brick wall either until our hand breaks or there's a crack in the wall. That's not sustainable. I think it also just may be what they have this year. I've gone up and down in the criticisms of Joe Brady. I think at this point it is a lot of it has to be on him. But I've also pointed to the talent issue with the wide receivers. However, there's really no reason a lot of these receivers that they're bringing in are good, okay guys in other places and are unusable in Buffalo. Elijah Moore is really the one I point to where why even make the Brandon Cooks signing? You had Cooks on your roster with Elijah Moore. You couldn't use him anyways. And Cooks, who, great, he made the first catch of the game for what, like 15 yards?
Yep.
Was he targeted again? I don't believe so. And if he was, it didn't matter. And so, like, that's my biggest issue with the offense. The whole thing is just, I don't think there is an off-speed pitch, a plan B. If the running game isn't working, they're going to try to make it work. And if it doesn't, well, we lost.
And that's why I started to theorize. Maybe the drafting is because of the offensive identity that was very outwardly spoken. By the way, no, Cooks was not targeted for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Why would you need to? You could keep running duo.
Well, it took to the second half to do that. That's yes. The thing is, it, like, the entire first half was a struggle to watch.
It was a struggle to watch, but then the second half was just keep running duo, and they did, and it worked, and it was cool, like, whatever. Fine, that's perfectly fair. But ready? Here's your telling story also about the offense and the off-speed pitch and not having a plan B, Zach. Khalil Shakir's targeted 4 times. He has 1 catch.
Yeah, and it's...
And it's because they keep blowing up the tunnel screens.
Yeah.
Because they're now such a predicated thing in the offense and predictable because of how the formation lines up at this point, you take that chance. Why? Because Khalil Shakir's often not running routes down the field anymore.
No.
And it's a shame. So, hell, Shakir with the 5-yard catch, there were a couple drops in there for him as well, but one of them was on a slant. Again, short route. Let the man hit a little bit up the middle.
I'd like them to use him more like Amon-Ra. For the Lions.
Or a traditional slot receiver.
Or a traditional slot receiver.
You did last year.
Yeah. And yet, with all these complaints, they're top 10 in most offensive categories. So what do we know? 803-0550, the number to call. Primetime players coming up after this timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Number 2 rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Hope you're having a wonderful Tuesday morning. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here. This is my last hour of work until I am on vacation for about a week and a half. Very excited about that. Very excited. It's been weird though.
Total mature response, but
it's been a little weird. Most of my family's doing quote unquote half days. Like, I'm not the only one, you know, coming in to do work. My brother, I think, was supposed to, but his girlfriend's working. My girlfriend's working.
You're just padding the timesheet before you go.
I think so. Like, a lot of this was like, it's a 2-hour show. Like, I'm not going to act like I have a hard job or anything like that.
I'm going to Disney.
I also wanted to, like, kill time.
This is like garbage time for you.
But, like, I'll be honest, I woke up this morning and I was like, ooh. Bad decision. My mind is not on, like, let's go to work for a few hours. It's come around, but I'll be honest, with the snow and everything, I was like, this has been a dreadful decision.
That's because Joe Cali's presence, radio's Joe Cali, really helps you
get through the day.
It gets you ready for work.
It's the hair.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, it's the coiffed hair.
Okay. It's the coiffed hair.
All right, yes. Let's calm down, fellas.
No, we're not calming down.
We'll tell you, though, real quick before we get to primetime players. Sabres last night, 5-1 win for them. I believe he's going to be on one of our lists, but real quick, just on Josh Norris. Hell of a return.
It's
kind of what you want.
Ready? It's exactly what was promised in the preseason.
Yeah, it is forgotten that his preseason was very encouraging.
It was unconscious.
Very encouraging.
And that top line really looked like, okay, you guys might be a problem this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the analytical numbers, the charts, they really loved the Sabres on that production standpoint if Norris can get you a good amount of games. Ready? He's missed, what, 20 or so?
Too much, yep. Mm-hmm.
It's standard affair for him.
Yeah.
So if he's healthy the rest of the year, Zach, you're looking at a potential 50-point player.
And
that's in 60 games.
Yeah, nearly a point-per-game player.
He's actually kind of a top-tier type guy if he's healthy.
Yep.
And I will talk more about Josh Norris coming up here as we get ready for primetime players.
And that is brought to you by Attain Wealth Planning, where wealth is personal. This is a weird week, Derek. This is a weird week for...
It was a weird week.
For the NFL, there wasn't really a lot of, like, oh, man. Because when we've been doing this... It's been guys like Jonathan Taylor where, like, we're talking about it going, yeah, that's going to be, you know, offensive player of the year type stuff. You know, Puka Nacua has had some of these performances and such. For me, at least, a little more college this week. We'll start, though, with some honorable mentions.
Honestly, I'm going to be nice about this. Not so nice about this. I have two players in the NFL in my honorable mentions, and that's it.
That's fine.
The NFL action this weekend was kind of cheeks.
Yeah, it was not the most splashy NFL week.
Kind of booty cheeks in terms of the entertainment value. Mm-hmm. Not the entertainment value. In terms of the individual performances.
Right.
It was very team-based. It was very structured. I had a lot of fun watching the Thanksgiving games. There was a lot of good action in those games. However, nothing really eye-popping in terms of your primetime performers. There are a couple, one of which in a loss. Typically, that means you're going to get in the honorable mentions, and that's A.J. Brown. 10 catches, 132 yards, 2 touchdowns in the loss to Chicago. Joe Kelly had that ready. He was ready to go. They did the parlay on the morning show, and he had A.J. Brown with over 6
sweating
catches.
Out. Sweating out there for a minute.
And he was sweating it out for a little bit, but then clears it by a mile.
I don't know what sweat you saw. I was
sitting right next to you.
Yeah, sitting right next to both of us at the arena. Do not lie to us.
Wasn't me.
That was you.
It was a skinwalker.
Okay, fine. Then I almost didn't slide into the back of a tailgate trying to chase down someone's hat blowing in the wind.
That should be an honorable mention. Derek eating the tailgate of a truck nearly.
That was bad. The wind on Friday was something to behold.
Open a jacket up and you fly away.
Owen made a kick save on a hat. I tried to chase another one down and skidded almost into the back of a parked truck.
Couldn't be me. I'd tear a hammy if I did that.
Oh my God,
not
that was
a shot.
I'm loyal to the cause, but man, that almost took me out.
Speaking of the Sabres, though, I did go with Josh Norris. 2 goals, 3 points
there
in his return, a breakaway goal as well, which has been something I have had a huge issue with the Sabres for years. They can't seem to score those chances. Norris had no issue, and he looked very good. I also want to mention, just because I think it's funny, Zach Benson, another assist, no goal. It's
two
incredible.
Assists.
He had 2 assists, thank you, and no goal. It's incredible.
He assisted on both of Norris'
goals. It's not that I don't want him to not score. I want him, though, to not score because this stat line is awesome.
He's currently trending for, I do believe, it's 58 assists on the season and
something
0
like
goals.
That. Something like that. But yeah, Josh Norris, though, is going to be the honorable mention. 2 goals, 3 points in his return. A 5-1 win over Winnipeg. The Sabres take on Philly on Wednesday.
I will talk more about Norris. He's a little higher up.
Mm-hmm.
And he made it just over this player. And, Zach, you're going to love this one. It's your boy, Adonai Mitchell.
He's on my honorable mention list, too.
Adonai Mitchell. So let's talk about this. Adonai Mitchell, 8 catches, 102 yards, and his first career touchdown in the NFL. Really nice play. Just beats quarters deep coverage on the streak, and he's got a one-on-one at that point, but he beats his man. Beautiful ball by Tyrod Taylor, by the way.
He had a great game.
Still one of the more beautiful things in the National Football League is a Tyrod Taylor deep ball. So Adonai Mitchell, though, this is a player that he's needed a new setting after what has happened in Indianapolis for him to start his career. And now you see a little bit of the promise and the potential there because Justin Fields is allergic to throwing a forward pass at this point. But Taylor's not shy about it, and Adonai Mitchell has his best game of his career.
I have a vice grip on Adonai Mitchell's potential. I won't let go. He also had a 90-yard receiving game earlier this year. It's ultimately, I think, the one that basically ends his career in Indianapolis because against the Rams, he drops the ball right before the goal line. The talent is there with Mitchell. When he was coming out of Texas, though, there were rumblings about his maturity and kind of he would flip-flop in practice, and a lot of that maybe was him not taking his insulin and what have you. I thought if the Bills took him, he'd be in a perfect environment to just get the maturity into him. I will say, though, with all that being said, Keon Coleman has had some of his maturity issues here. Nothing
and
illegal.
It's the same club.
Yeah, nothing illegal, but he has had his own issues. Not even Abdul Carter, by the way, for the Giants, who for the second time this year, he's benched for a quarter or a series, whatever it was. He's had his own issues. But I think
guys, just pay attention to meetings.
I know. But when you watch Adonai Mitchell play, you can see an elite receiver. That does not mean he's going to be that guy. It does not mean that all of a sudden the lights turned on, he's going to be a 1,000-yard guy next year. I'm not saying that. But when you watch him, I think it's really hard not to see the talent on display. And on Sunday, when the Jets have nobody else, he looked really good. I am now irrationally excited to see him and Garrett Wilson together with Fernando Mendoza out of Indiana. We'll see if that happens.
I'm not irrationally excited about that at all. That's
as
Jets,
an Adonai
that's
Mitchell lover, I'm there, and I don't know.
The Bills already have to deal with Drake May. No,
I know,
thank you.
I know, but Fernando Mendoza, listen to any of his interviews.
I'm
you're either
going
to laugh. You're either going to laugh or fall in love with him. There's no in between.
I'm going to be selfish and say keep Mendoza away from the Jets. So All right. Do you have any other honorable mentions?
Just one more. Christian Benford. I do want to throw him out there. He had a really fun 10 minutes for the Bills.
Oh, my God. It was the 10 minutes that turns it around, though. Yep. Joey Bosa obliterates Aaron Rodgers. Benford, that ball bounces so politely to him, by the way.
I know.
Footballs bounce in weird ways, and that's one of them. It goes right to Benford, who's able to comfortably secure it and run into the end zone. It's not often that easy how a football bounces.
But it was.
He gets that. Same thing for the interception.
Yeah.
It's not often that easy where you overthrow a 6'7" tight end and it goes right into the breadbasket as you're heading out of bounds.
Yeah, so I want to throw Benford on there. Again, you're right. A lot of that was just more like serendipitous. He just happens to be there.
Right,
but you know what?
Right place, right time. But it's still good that you're doing that.
But he is also having a much better second
he's
half
picking
of the
it up,
year.
Yes.
You know, all of a sudden now I don't want to put him into the bad extension pile because he's having a much better second half of the year than at all.
There's
the
been a course half. Correction on his mm-hmm. season and how things have gone to start to where he is more reliable again. And I said it with Nate on the Overtime Show. He's back to CB1 comfortably. Yeah. You don't have to worry about anything of like what's wrong with Christian Benford. That question's gone. So it's good that he's there. All right. So to number five, it's Josh Norris, a player that we were already talking about. And I do want to elaborate a little bit more here on the potential of a player like Norris. Norris is a player that he is. The talent's there. He is a good hockey player. So, if he's able to stay healthy, that line one suddenly can turn really dangerous. Because then Lindy Ruff doesn't have to worry so much about Tage Thompson playing center. There is clearly a connection between Norris and Thompson that is working. That first goal that Norris scores is a thing of beauty. There's passing between the three of them. The breakout pass even from Samuelson, who doesn't get an assist on the play. But all of a sudden, line one gets taken a lot more seriously because of what's going on here, because you have it back. This was what was promised in the preseason. This is a player that, even through injuries, still has great seasons when it comes to putting the puck in the net. The man scored 35 in 66 games a couple years ago.
That's where he gets the big extension from Ottawa.
He scores 21 goals total in 56 games last year. He can put the puck in the net. It is just a matter of getting on the ice and staying on the ice. And for the Sabres, he's played a total of 5 games. He has 5 points. That is not an accident. That's a good hockey player.
He's a very good hockey player.
He just needs to have a little bit of the injury luck go his way. And the other beautiful thing about him being at center, faceoff percentage.
Mm-hmm. We'll see if that can keep going for the Sabres.
Yes, they need a guy like this to dominate the dot. And the hope is that Josh Norris is able to do that for them on a routine basis here for the Sabres.
Number five for me, going to the college. It was rivalry week this week.
Oh,
good
yes,
games.
It was.
Meant a lot. The final college football playoff rankings, by the way, is going to come out tonight. I say final because the next time we'll have them will actually be the college football playoff. We're going to the Egg Bowl. Ole Miss quarterback Trinidad Chambliss. If you don't know him, really, he's the backup quarterback for Ole Miss this year. He's a D2 transfer from Ferris State. He's seen more as just a guy that's going to kind of have, you know, the quarterback depth. We know that's been a problem in college football. Make sure you have somebody that can play if your starter gets hurt. Austin Simmons does not perform fairly well, gets hurt. Trinidad goes in. He's been the starter since. Ole Miss is 11-1 following their win on Friday, and Trinidad was a big part of that. He had 359 yards and 4 touchdowns in the win. And it is ultimately the final game Lane Kiffin is going to coach at Ole Miss. It sounds like none of the players are going to sit out a potential playoff game for Ole Miss, so it does sound like Trinidad is going to get the start for Ole Miss whenever and whoever they play in the playoff. I'm excited. He's been a wonderful story. I think there's an NFL player in there. I'm not saying first-round pick. I think there's an NFL player in there. He does have some wild misses, but boy, when he hits, he is on fire. So Trinidad Chambliss comes in at number five for me.
All right, number four, I'm going to the ice almost exclusively from here on out, by the way, or staying on the ice. I lied, by the way. I was wrong. I forgot I have one more NFL player in here at number four. Bryce Young with Carolina shines in. This is where you love the in the big moments.
Never forget, if he has a good game, he'll have a bad one but if he has a bad one, he'll have a great one next.
His stat line's not what you'd call impressive in the biggest way in terms of yards. He only has 206 through the air, 15 of 20 passing, 3 touchdowns, though. Efficiency at its highest peak against a Rams team that finally made a couple mistakes. Matthew Stafford threw interceptions. on back-to-back drives, I do believe it was, after securing a record of most touchdowns without an interception.
What's he doing to me, man? Like, I was all in on the MVP stuff, and then he throws two picks and loses to Carolina. Thanks, man. Now it's Drake May.
So
selfish by Stafford, really.
Selfish. So that's my thing is that Bryce Young, though, did that thing that we love talking about, which is step up in the big moments. This is a big win for Carolina, an opportunity to contend for the NFC South. You have the same record as Tampa Bay. You have an opportunity to make it through the postseason. And Bryce Young, when he's on, he's on.
They are having a tough time, though. They are kind of clumped together with Detroit at 7-5, Dallas at 6-5-1.
Yeah, so they're half a game behind.
As teams trying to battle to get in. And really, it's not even going to be the wild card. They are going to have to win their division because your wild cards in San Francisco are 9-4, Green Bay at the 6-8-3-1, and Seattle 9-3. It's going to have to be winning the NFC South.
Yeah, and it's the same for like Dallas too, where you have a lot of stepping you have to get to in order to make it, but it's going to be through your division that's the easiest path. Carolina's half game back from Tampa Bay, though. This is a more encouraging thing. And for the Panthers, it is. This is a big win and an opportunity to stay alive throughout the season in what is usually just Tampa's cakewalk to take care of.
Quietly, what, have they won 4 or 5 in a row?
5 in a row.
Yeah.
Like Buffalo. This season looked like it was going to be more of the same for Tampa. Now it's not.
Yep.
They're getting barraged by injury, and it is just not relenting for Tampa Bay. Carolina has a chance to make up for it.
Number 4 for me, Jordan Love, Green Bay quarterback, Thanksgiving Day. There's always going to be that Thanksgiving performance. I think for me it was him, 234 and 4 touchdowns, and they put Detroit in a bad spot. Detroit now, they're part of that group, 7-5. They're 2 games behind San Francisco at 9-4. It's going to be a bit of a grind here for them to try to get back into it. And Green Bay, they're at 6. It's not like they're all of a sudden figured it out, what have you, but they're not far off from Chicago, who's 9-3. Love needs to kind of get going here. His receivers, though, it seems like are starting to get healthy. They're not going to get Tucker Kraft back, but his receivers are starting to get healthy. And you're starting to see why many of us have talked about it being a trilogy for Green Bay Packers quarterbacks going from Favre to Rodgers to Love. So Jordan Love comes in at number 4 for me.
All right, number 3, I'm going with Timo Meier. He's got a 6-game point streak right now for the New Jersey Devils. 5 goals, 3 assists over said 6-game point streak. The Devils, obviously, one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference, and Meier has been a consistent person for them right now in order to do so. So Timo Meier, consistency is the key here for him at number 3, and I'm going to stay on the ice as a foreshadowing for number 2.
Number 3 for me is actually just the Bears rushing attack in general against Philadelphia. 281 and 2 touchdowns at Philly. This is a good win for the Bears. I know Ben Johnson commented that they're winning in spite of their passing attack, and Caleb Williams has been up and down this year. But they're 9-3, and they had 2 100-yard rushers. They almost have 300 yards on the ground against Philadelphia in that wildly talented defense. This is probably more on Philly. They do look broken this year. They're also 8-4, just like the Bills. Also very frustratingly, kind of in that same vein. But good for the Bears. 9-3, great rushing attack by them. And it was that lone Black Friday game, and they kind of dominated Philly the whole way. And in part, it's due to that rushing attack.
All right, number 2 for me, I'm looking at Wyatt Johnston, the Stars center, who has been fantastic. Meier was consistency. Johnston had 2 4-point games over the past week.
Oh, good for him.
Including against Ottawa on Sunday. He also has a 4-point game against Edmonton back on Tuesday last week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's within the span of us doing primetime players from start to finish there. Yep. 2 4-point games? Yeah, sign me up for that. He does also have a goal in another game there. 4 straight wins for Dallas in that stretch as well for Wyatt Johnston. Fantastic player. Him, Jason Robertson, and Mikko Rantanen is a top line to fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hate that it's the Stars.
Yeah, it's less than ideal.
No, I'm not letting it go.
Number 2 for me goes back to college, Diego Pavia. I think this is second or third straight week Pavia's been on my list, which is funny because I'm not even the biggest fan of his. I'm just acknowledging he is having a wonderful
having
end
a
of the
year.
Season. Went over Tennessee at Tennessee. This is it's not even really a rivalry. It really isn't. I mean, it is, but Tennessee has dominated so much.
Right.
Vandy is the little brother, and over the last 2 years, they've really announced themselves. I think they should absolutely be in the playoff. I know they lost it at Texas, and it took like a wild comeback at the end to even make it close. But they're 10-2 in the SEC. put them in.
That's not a joke, yeah.
And to be fair, put them in because they're wildly entertaining. Their defense kind of sucks, but their offense is super fun. And on that, Pavia was great. He throws an early interception, but ultimately ends the day 268 and a touchdown through the air and 165 and a touchdown on the ground. They did this at Knoxville, you know, Rocky Top. It was not even in Nashville. And they dominated. I think it's a 3-touchdown win for Vandy. Just absolutely annihilated Tennessee's season. They did it as a little brother. I mean, I don't know if Pavia's going to win the Heisman. I do think that is going to come down to Fernando Mendoza versus Julian Sain, Ohio State versus Indiana. No quarterbacks don't really play each other. But Indiana versus Ohio State in the Big Ten title, I think that's where the Heisman's going to be decided. But Pavia is absolutely going to be in New York. And his performance is like this. He's been on a tear in November, which in college football, that is the make or break period. And he has been awesome. So Pavia, Diego Pavia, number two for me.
Now, the problem with Vandy is that there's too many SEC teams that have less than two losses ahead of them in the college football playoff, or ones that have the same amount. Oklahoma being one of those, but then Texas A&M and my number one, Alabama, and then my number one.
Oklahoma, whatever.
For
I can't score.
My number one, though, in this is Trinidad Chambliss of Ole Miss.
Great game.
Great game from him. Especially with the rumors swirling about your head coach, to deliver results in the Egg Bowl like that is always going to be a fantastic thing for you. And yeah, Mississippi State, not a good team this year, but it is a named rivalry game. Mm-hmm. It means more. And there's an opportunity there for Ole Miss to make a statement. They do, and then all of a sudden,
my number one shows up, Lane Kiffin.
I'm going to smack you.
How did he not? He's no one can dominate a news cycle. No one can dominate a news cycle like Lane Kiffin can. This is now, I believe, his fifth less than desirable exit in his career.
Oh my God.
The Oakland Raiders, where Al Davis basically wanted to fight him and his father, Monty Kiffin, on the way out. You have Tennessee, where he stays for a year and then bolts to USC.
Who leaves him on the tarmac.
USC, where he gets left on the tarmac. Alabama, he's fired after the semifinal by Nick Saban because he's already flirting with leaving. So he's ousted before the national championship. And now you've got Ole Miss, where for a month we're all basically held hostage. Marty Smith can't leave Oxford, Mississippi for like 90 hours. He can't even see his family during the holidays because Lane Kiffin doesn't know what he's going to do. And yet we all knew what he was going to do. He goes to LSU.
Good for Marty Smith, by the way, the interview at the airport there. The story that he told about that of, hunch, let's go. And so Marty Smith probably, you know, late honorable mention here.
Honestly,
For reporter Marty Smith.
He's with Lane Kiffin in this. But yes. It's just, I've mentioned it a few times on the show. I was far more glued into the college coaching searches that were going on than it was a lot of the NFL stuff this week, just because it is rivalry week and a lot of the stuff is going on. I do want to acknowledge with Kiffin, and we'll talk a little bit more on this in the break, it's not really all his fault. If you don't know the college football schedule, he basically had no other choice. You either accept the job now and blow up a playoff team, or you don't take the job. Because if people don't realize, National Signing Day is tomorrow.
Yep.
The transfer portal will open in the middle of the playoffs. If you don't go now, you won't have the job. And that includes the group of five coaches that all went to Auburn and Florida and Arkansas. They all had to leave. And Oklahoma State, ultimately. North Texas's coach, Eric Morris. Although it sounds like he's going to coach North Texas.
I have a question for you on this, but we need to get to a break.
Yes. So that is the Primetime Players. We'll be posting that here in just a moment. And when we do these Primetime Players, I just closed out the read. So
it is sponsored by Attain Wealth Planning, where wealth is personal. We'll take a time out, come back here. We'll talk a little bit more about this Lane Kiffin saga because it's upset me. But I also think that there's something wrong with college football that now needs to be fixed. They fixed it with the players. Now they may need to make an adjustment with the coaches.
Hour number two rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here. It seems the snow has left us, at least here in our Amherst studio. That is nice. That is good. We like to see it.
You like to see it, and it's right about the timeline of when it was going to stop really snowing. Hopefully around wherever area you are, it's doing the same, and you are driving safe no matter what, whether the roads are clear as day when it comes to pavement, or if they are slick mm-hmm. and still not taken care of, just be driving safe out there while you're hanging out with us. Thanks for hanging with us, by the way, here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
So I did want to do this because I'm going to be gone for the next few days. And
you have been like itching for this for days.
Yeah, many people know I'm a big college football junkie, college sports junkie, really, because basketball also plays into that. But
number one, Purdue, baby.
Right, there you go.
Basketball.
I have been locked in with everything with the college football playoff, and is Miami going to get left out, BYU, that stuff, and then the head coaching search. You know, Lane Kiffin, where's he going? And then really where a lot of the other big jobs are going to be filled, and most of them have been. We'll get to Penn State here in a minute. But what I do want to acknowledge, and I joked about Lane Kiffin there, and he owns a media cycle. It was so entertaining for me. Probably some people got annoyed by it, but for me, I was
one of
thrilled.
Those that like I didn't love the process of mm-hmm. already a previous villain in sports.
Right, kind of killing all of his goodwill and becoming the villain again. I mean, that's effectively what Lane Kiffin did. I think where I'm at,
and even then, there was a moment where, again, you mentioned the podcaster who has media credentials, says a line that I'm not going to repeat, but then Lane Kiffin confronts him to his face,
yep.
and it kind of turns him into a little bit of a, oh yeah, you could say it away from him, but to his face, you're not going to go ahead and say anything.
Right, First of all, he had the deer in the headlights look, especially.
It was the deer in the headlights look, so it was a tough look for him. But also, Lane Kiffin, real tough talk when you have four state troopers surrounding you.
And then you leave.
And then you prove
48 hours later.
And then
later.
You prove the guy right.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I don't know what to think of you anymore in terms of somebody to respect. But like you said, and it's a true trope in sports, sometimes it is better for the overall product when there is a mm-hmm. satisfying villain that you need to have taken down. The amount of times, like, look at the Chiefs, for example.
Patriots for years.
Patriots for years. In the NBA for a while, it turned into the Golden State Warriors.
Yep.
And
for many people, it was, depending on what side of the country you lived on, it was the Lakers or the Celtics.
Hockey over the past few years, it's been the Lightning, now the Panthers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need a good villain, I think, especially
in
sports.
You need a villain to prey on the downfall of.
Because sports are ultimately, they're entertainment, but they're also, we fall in love with them because they're a story. They're a long winning story. They're not a 2-hour movie or a 500-page book. They're long. Seasons are long.
They're long.
But they're ultimately a story, and you do need that satisfying villain that you know, that your favorite team vanquishes at the end of the season.
The hero takes down. Whether it is your team or not, a hero is called when they take down the villain. The Chiefs were heralded as one when they defeat or when they surpass the Patriots. They're seen as the team that could do it. They don't do it in that AFC Championship game. New England goes on to the Super Bowl, wins, and everything. Death Star blows us up. But you mentioned it. It's stories. We all go and flock to stories. And what makes a good story is a satisfying mm-hmm. villain that you hate. Like, one of the biggest hated characters in all of media, King Joffrey, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
When he croaks it in that series, spoiler alert, it's been too long. I can go ahead and say
it's been almost
that.
10 years since that episode aired.
But that episode aired, and it was a sensation for people. Like, oh my God. So when you have well-established villains, Lane Kiffin is a well-established villain.
He is.
Everybody, not just the SEC, is going to be preying on LSU's downfall now. And if the Tigers do succeed, it makes the college football playoff that much more appetizing for the casual fan. I've gotten to a point where I agree with Jeremy White on this about the college football playoff of mm-hmm. you're arguing about 12 teams when teams 9 through 12 probably don't have a realistic shot at winning the whole thing.
100%. 100%. Even when the 4-team playoff, 4-seed usually didn't have a shot. I mean, in the 4-seed
usually didn't have a shot. But
the 4-team era, we had Georgia 62, TCU 7 as a national championship. That's standard in college football.
It's standard in college football. But you can make a legitimate claim toward the 5th best team being made the 4th.
Right.
If I've got teams arguing from 13 to 16 that they should be the 12th best team in the country in the rankings,
mm-hmm.
We've kind of lost the plot. And now the SEC and the Big Ten's like, let's make it more so that we can make more money on our conference dominating these things.
Right, and that's my thing,
and
too.
It's like, I don't need 8-4 Illinois making the college football playoffs. Shut up.
No, like 12 is good for me. I don't need 16 because you're right. Like, it's college football. There isn't going to be 16 qualified enough teams. I think where it does get into and where it really does work early is winning a game or two in the college football playoff. Like, that does mean, because it's winning a big bowl game, right? I mean, Tulane wins, what, I think the Sugar Bowl over USC a few years ago, or Cotton Bowl, excuse me, over USC a couple years ago. Like, that does mean something. I'm fine with that. It's the national championship, right, where people are like, eh, there's like two or three programs that can actually do it.
Right.
Now, to the whole Lane Kiffin stuff, he is going to be a villain. And I think understandably so, because he did not handle everything perfectly.
Again.
I think the real villain, though, is the college football calendar, where we are all sitting here and these decisions have to be made before the season is over with. There is no Black Monday for college football.
Right.
Everyone acknowledges for the NFL, it's the day after week 18 now, where, you know, that Monday, okay, teams that are on the playoffs, they're making moves. Teams that are in the playoffs, they go on. There is no such thing in college football. Right now, teams are gearing up for National Signing Day tomorrow.
And
teams that are in conference championships are dealing with that on Saturday or Friday. Teams that are going to be in the playoffs have that to look forward to, including during the playoffs, because if you keep going, the transfer portal opening up. It is a cluster. I don't know what the NCAA does outside of punish kids. I have literally no idea what they do.
Punish kids.
Because this is such an easy fix of just move everything.
Just move everything.
The signing period back to late January or February.
And you know what it is? It's the existence of the playoff. There is a difference, a palpable difference, between a 12-team playoff field and what this whole structure has always been around, which is one game.
Right, the BCS National Championship, or even before that when it was the newspapers kind of picked based off the bowl game, if one beat
one
their,
two.
You know, or, well, when it was the bowl games, it was like 1 versus 4. You know, if they won, they're going to move on. If 2 beat 3, they win.
But that's the thing is, it was a shorter postseason.
Right.
Whereas like now, if it was the BCS or even the 4-team playoff, Ole Miss can move on with their lives.
Yeah.
And like, okay, there is a playoff team comfortably, I think, within the playoff field at 11-1 that does not have its head coach. And it's rumored, hey, I want to pick some of the guys from the staff here at Ole Miss. You've got to be on the tarmac, though, or you don't have a job.
Right, yeah. Charlie Weiss Jr., their offense coordinator, did leave with Lane Kiffin. It was up in the air if he was actually going to. He ended up doing it. I think most of the offensive staff did. But Ole Miss had to – Pete Golding is not their interim head coach. He is their head coach.
Pete Golding is now their head coach, and it is because you have to establish this now. National Signing Day is tomorrow. Your college football playoff is in a couple of weeks. You're waiting for the championship games to decide the rest of the fate of the field, but pretty much there's something that you should be preparing for, which is the ever-evolving future of your program. You have only 4 years of a college class. It is different. You always have to be on the fly rebuilding. Mm-hmm. You always have to be. You are recruiting constantly. But because this postseason exists, this larger postseason, you either have to move the starting date of the college season up, or you have to move back some of the National Signing Day, the transfer portal opening, because you have a longer postseason than before. And yes, they try to structure it to where it's still the New Year's Six. We still have business to conduct after the New Year's Six.
Yeah, exactly. I know people complain about the NHL playoff format, and I do too. NFL, why is there a 7 seed, the whole thing. I don't think there is a worse structure than college football. It is the Wild West. It's ridiculous. I mean, here, Derek, Tulane and North Texas, they are playing for the American Championship.
Right.
Both their coaches are gone. It sounds like Eric Morris of North Texas is going to stay coaching until their season ends, but he's off to Oklahoma State. Tulane's coach, John Summerall, already had his introductory press conference at Florida. These are two teams that are probably going – the winner will likely be the Group of Five team in the college football playoff. We'll see, by the way, if Duke wins in the ACC. There might be two teams, not both of them, but
right.
James Madison maybe gets in from the Sun Belt. But it is such a broken system, and there is no fixing it. Lane Kiffin, ultimately, again, he is going to be the face of this. I hope what he is the realization of
the catalyst.
We need to fix this.
Yes.
Because, right, I don't blame LSU for wanting Kiffin. He has fixed his image. This is not the guy that went 7-6 in Tennessee, gets fired at USC. No. This is a guy that gave Ole Miss 6 years, and it was maybe their best years in program history outside of the 60s. This season, 11-1, is their best season statistically. They're not even going to play for the SEC championship, by the way, at 11-1. It's incredible. They lose one game, it's to Georgia, and they're out. But it's their best years. LSU, though, was the better job. I'll argue, you know, maybe Kiffin is happier at Ole Miss. He can be himself. But LSU was maybe a top five job.
Is he?
Sport.
He took off in a messy divorce.
Well, yeah, that's fair. But
was he ever happy? I don't know.
He almost left for Auburn 2 years ago, and his daughter talked him out of it. Family talked him out of it, more or less. But
man,
the LSU job is better. He's probably going to win 10 games next year, at least at LSU.
But also, if Alabama opens up, I'd imagine Featherfoot over there is going to find a way to fly.
Or the NFL.
Or the NFL.
Dude. Kiffin is not retiring at LSU.
I cannot
but
wait.
Less about him and just more
so messy.
The whole situation of just where this is. Ole Miss is an SEC team, and they can't even relish in their great season because Kiffin had to make a choice. And there were reports. I listened to Josh Pate and Paul Feinbaum. They were talking about this.
Yep.
Kiffin wanted to have his cake and eat it too. He wanted to be able to coach Ole Miss through this incredible run. He loves this team. He loves the players. He wants to finish out what they started. But no.
The school made the right decision of saying, no, we cannot have you, A, trying to convince our players to go with you to LSU.
Yeah, you'll kill the program. And then is also,
you'll kill the program to a conference opponent, by the way.
Actually, a full-on rival, Magnolia Bowl.
Yeah.
That's a full-on
that's a
rivalry.
Yeah. So, okay, you're going to take us, you're going to rob us of players and hurt us for a rival, not just that you're going to a different conference. Like, if this was Penn State's job, for example, maybe they're not as apprehensive. But you are losing kids to the transfer portal probably because they're going to go with you because you're still there. And
well, and that was the whole thing is he's all of a sudden
because I'm here, I'm loyal with you.
He's going to have a month in his office these guys at
but
practice.
But it's also, I'm leaving.
Them.
Yeah. I'm leaving, but I'm sticking with you guys till the end. There's a little sense of loyalty still there. Like, it's not as messy.
Well, because that's the rumblings now is that the team is kind of furious
livid.
At how it ended.
They're
Pete Golding has been able to kind of rally the troops. But what if he had a month where you mentioned, like, it's not as messy, and all of a sudden he can kind of bring guys in on one-on-one meetings and just discuss LSU or Ole Miss. Like, what do we want to
do
here?
But also, it's not as...
And all of a sudden, yeah, half the team is gone because they were 11-1. They beat LSU this year. Plus LSU's recruiting staff, recruiting resources and their class and stuff like that.
But it's also the feelings, though. Like, the players don't feel betrayed by the coach because he's sticking through for the end of the year. Mm-hmm. I'm loyal to you. Like, you're loyal to me. I should be loyal to you. There's that feeling that then would be able to be harbored, and the school knows it.
Yeah.
They made the right decision. It's a tough decision, but it's the right decision of, oh, and by the way, here's advertisement of LSU's head coach playing in the college football playoff for not LSU.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I understand the argument of people going, like, just go try to win a national title. No.
It's the fact that number Kiffin one tried to gaslight the university saying, oh, I would have loved to stay, but these guys wouldn't let me. No.
He's trying to play PR.
You're trying to throw a tantrum over the mess that you made, and I'm not having it. Do not gaslight me.
But, like, you know, I have heard the argument, and I can understand it to a certain extent of people saying, well, you know, just throw everything into this season then. You're not winning the college football playoff. Their defense is not good enough. Just flat out, it's not. And we've talked about this with college sports where the best team wins. There's like two or three teams that can actually do it. Ole Miss is not beating Ohio State. They're not. I don't even know if they can beat Notre Dame and Indiana. I don't think they have the defense to do it. And so really, like you mentioned, it would just be free advertisement for a game, maybe two, but not for Ole Miss. It's not all of a sudden, hey, come play at the Vaught. Come play here. Like, Kiffin, it would be, come follow him to LSU, a different team. And now...
Because I'd bet you, or I'd turn to Joe Kelly and I'd be like, I bet you that every camera points at Lane Kiffin and you're talking about the LSU thing, not the team.
Not the Ole Miss
thing.
That is
on the field.
And now, before anyone brings it up too, the Group of Five stuff, because I mentioned their coaches are gone too. There is a difference of taking higher jobs. Going from South Florida to Auburn, going from Tulane to Florida, there is something different there. There is something much worse about in the same conference.
And to a rival.
There is a difference there. It's college football. It's the South. There is something very different there about how you do it. And again, I will acknowledge LSU is probably the better job than Ole Miss. It should also be acknowledged, that's a bad look, Lane. It's a bad look. Also, Penn State, still looking for their coach. They were the first ones to fire theirs, James Franklin, back in October.
And now they're the worst recruiting class in the entire Big Ten.
Yeah, and it's just being rated by Virginia Tech, who got James Franklin. Although, it does sound like nothing for sure yet. It does sound like they are trying to hire BYU's head coach, Kalani Sitake, who is an alumni from BYU, has been there, I think, since 2016. So he's like the Zach Wilson years and stuff like that. Sure. He's never coached on the East Coast, has never recruited the area, but good on you. I still think it should have been Brian Daboll. I think that would have been a good coach for them. But
maybe it's Joe Brady.
Maybe it's Joe Brady. 803-0550, the number to call. Sabres Live is coming up at the top of the hour. We'll come back, close out the show, get you off to the rest of your afternoon. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
I'm telling you, we're going to go after you every game. And, you know, that's how we roll. We're going to try to tickle your tonsils on every play, every game. And but that's the attitude that we're coming in with. And then you let the chips fall where they may.
You had to play that.
Apparently, it is a coach saying.
Andrew Reid out of pocket.
But it sounds super inappropriate. But I guess yeah. It's a coach saying?
It is. It means to play in the face of the opponent.
I get that. But, like, also.
Sure.
I mean, can we pick anything else?
Yeah. I say anything
else.
Please.
Anything else.
I.
Also, that being said, though, man, the Chiefs are having a tough year. I know a lot of other people still fear them. It's long enough this year for me to not worry about what they did years past. They're not a good football team this year.
They're not, and it's the team. It's not, oddly enough, the past few years, it's been their offense, the quarterback
not playing his best,
to his best capabilities. No, he's fine, actually. It is kind of a similar message, but a worse record than Buffalo, which is talent's kind of aging in some places. You haven't appropriately put things together there. The wide receiver room's not really, outside of one player, particularly good or consistent. The opposite for the Bills is they don't have a running back room at all.
No, that is the one big difference.
That's the big difference.
And
they have
higher end talent on defense. There's the differences, but they're ultimately very similar. The only issue is Chiefs fans can cry with their Super Bowl trophies.
Yes, they can. Bills can't. We can't, and we don't have those, and that's okay, I guess. But,
real quick, though, before we get out of here, because we were just having that conversation about college football.
Yes.
Steve tweets in, used to watch it, but not anymore because of what we were just talking about, the poaching coaches in December and the season's not ending, the transfer portal. And that's what he's saying. It should not happen, not fond of the transfer portal. Either it's a tool with a purpose in certain cases, but it is being abused currently. And I don't really disagree with most of that. I think my only issue with the transfer portal, I'll never want that gone. I want kids to have the options. Coaches have always been able to
don't
leave
punish
really whenever
the kids
they want.
For whatever the coaches are doing there.
I will say, though, a lot of those issues happen because college football needs guardrails. A lot of these kids, not all, but a lot of them, have to make these split-second decisions in like a week if they're going to leave their current school or they're going to go somewhere else. They can't even do the proper homework of if this system is going to fit me or not. College football desperately needs guardrails. I hope Lane Kiffin is going to be the guy for that. But
enjoy vacation, Zachary.
Derek, you got the rest of the way. But coming up next, Sabres Live. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.